I'll be reading Romans chapter 12, page 1139. Humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given by me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith by God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ we, though through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Sorry, just give me a moment. Sorry, everyone, just give me a moment. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the bodies that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed this church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way.
Thank you. Adrian, good.
Good morning. Good to see you. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. We're going to have a look at that passage in just a few minutes, and then we're going to have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in just a few minutes. Now, we're coming back to our series this morning on what it means to be church. And there are lots of ways that you can look at a church and try and find out what's going on in a church. You could perhaps pick up a notice sheet and sort of have a look through a notice sheet and see if you can gauge what's going on in a church. You might like to have a look at a website. You might get a feel for what a church is all about. Or if you're a bit like me, I'm a bit OCD about notice boards, actually. I tend to kind of look at a church notice board. I think notice boards, sometimes outside a church, tell you a little bit more about what's going on inside a church, or perhaps what church is all about. But of course, there are always those odd notice boards around, aren't they, that really leave you wondering what it's all about altogether, actually. And I found a few of those during the week, which made me smile, and maybe lets you smile too. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. I'm sure if that's a church you might head to next Sunday morning, maybe you will, if that's something that you're into at the moment. I quite like this one. Best sausage supper in St. Louis. Come and eat Pastor Thomas Ressler. Okay? Whatever you fancy. The next one I found was this one here. It shows you how just one word makes all the difference. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our community and our church. One word changes everything, doesn't it? And this one made me smile. I probably see why the pastor's name's been obliterated here. Having trouble sleeping, try one of our sermons. You know, a much better way of exploring what church is all about is actually to come back to the Bible. And that's what we've been doing, haven't we, over these last few Sunday mornings together, looking to see what the Bible says to us about church and what it is we are called to be and who we actually are. And that's where we're going this morning. We're coming this morning to think about the whole theme of what it means to belong to God's community of new people. What does it mean to belong? What does it mean to you this morning to belong to the family of Crofton Baptist Church? You see, there is within each one of us a deep, inherent desire to belong, to be accepted, to be loved, to feel safe, to feel that we are secure, to feel that we are of value and of significance. C.S. Lewis, one of my great writers, captures this idea of wanting to belong really well. He talks about being inside the inner ring, inside a group that have welcomed you and sort of thrown their arms around you and said, "You belong, we love you, you're accepted." He puts it a little bit like this. He said, "I believe that in everyone's lives between infancy and extreme old age, one of the most dominant elements is the desire to be inside the local ring," and see what he says next, "and the terror of being left on the outside." If that strikes a chord with you this morning, that desire to belong, to be on the inside. Maybe like this little picture this morning, you have had experiences of rejection in your life. You know, I can vividly remember when I was at primary school, and this probably happened to some of you as well, where we used to choose football teams and everyone would line up. And I was terrible at football, and I used to hate it when this happened. And, you know, there'd be two captains and they'd start to say, "I'll have him and I'll have him and I'll have him and I'll have him." And there'd be one or two was left and somebody would suddenly look at me and say, "Well, you can have him." Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's with me this morning. But, you know, that happened a long time ago. And if you've experienced rejection over the course of your life, you'll know only too well that those feelings of rejection go deep, deep, deep within you and probably still affect you today. They sometimes leave some very deep scars. I think C.S. Lewis hits the nail on the head first. That desire to feel like we belong, to find a place where we fit, where we're accepted, where we're loved, and where we belong. And here's the great news, and we know this, we've been celebrating already this morning, but you know, at the heart of the Christian faith lies a very deep truth. Here it is on the screen behind us. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, what's going on there is that the Bible verse is saying to us that once, if you were not a Christian, you were excluded, and now you've been included. Once you were sort of out of the local ring, and now you're in the local ring. There's a song by the group Wren Collective that's been going around in my mind all week, and it goes a little bit like this. I've put some of the lyrics on the screen. "There are no outsiders to your love. We are all welcome. There is grace enough. When I wandered, Lord, your cross is the open door. You have no borders. When I was a stranger knocking at your door, you took me in with no questions and no conditions. When I was a sinner running from your grace, you called me friend. You are the Father. There are no orphans. There are no outsiders to your love." Isn't that a powerful song? No outsiders to your love. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, because that's the truth that lies at the heart of the Christian faith that we're going to unpack together this morning. That church is about people who belong. People who have been included in the family of God, or as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, but now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away, but now you've been brought close through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know that it's difficult, isn't it, to experience that true sense of belonging. There are all kinds of factors at work in our world today. One of those factors is the kind of isolation that's so prevalent in our society today. Did you know, for example, in the last 35 years, the number of people living alone in our country has doubled? Did you know, I wonder, that the number of marriages ending in divorce has also doubled in the last 30 years? People have less time to socialize. People are much more mobile in terms of moving and working. We move homes and we move jobs so much more than we ever used to. And isolation is a real enemy about experiencing true sense of belonging. Add to that the rampant sense of individualism that's so ripe in our society today. Our desire to be self-sufficient, to conclude at the end of the day that we only really have responsibility for ourselves and nobody else. Is it any wonder that we struggle to experience a true sense of belonging and community? And when it comes to church, many of us start to treat church in the same way that we treat other things in life. So it's not long before we start to think of church as consumers. So we come to church thinking that it will provide for us certain goods and services and fulfill our desires and our needs. And we want to obtain those desires. So we come to church to see what we can get out of it. We become like consumers. And if we don't get out of it what we want, we feel it hasn't met our own individual needs. And we treat church just like a consumer. There's some of the enemies against true senses of believing and belonging. Is it any wonder we struggle to experience that true sense of community with so many factors pulling us in so many different ways? That desire to be in the local ring, as C.S. Lewis puts it, to be included, to be loved, to be able to feel safe and accepted and secure. And yet that's exactly what God has called his community to be. To be a church where people can experience a true sense of belonging, where God is recreating a people who will live as he intended them to be, where people are reconciled to God and to one another. And when we get glimpses of the kingdom of God breaking into the here and now, when we get little glimpses of heaven breaking out in God's community in the here and now, we have people in our local community who taste it and see it and say, whoa, I want that. That's the kind of community I want to belong to. Maybe that all sounds a bit too good to be true. Well, let's see what God's word has to say to us this morning. Because that's what needs to shape our thinking and our understanding. Come with me to Romans chapter 12 first of all and to verses 4 and 5. You'll find that on page 1139. Do follow this with me if you're able to this morning. Some really important things about true belonging. How do we experience it? Where does it come from? How does it start? Romans chapter 12, and verse 5, 4 and 5 says this to us. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, verse 5, we who are many form one body. I want to suggest this to you this morning, that if we want to experience a true sense of belonging, it begins first and foremost in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying here, so in Christ, verse 5, we who are many form one body. That little phrase, in Christ, has totally transformed my life. It's given me a true sense of belonging. It's given me a clearer sense of my worth and my identity, because we live in a world that encourages us to look for our identity in just about everything else around us. And Paul argues here that true belonging begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ, as in Christ. Takes this wonderful illustration of a human body. Ephesians chapter 1, we haven't time to look at it this morning, but Paul unpacks this sense of what true belonging really looks like. He talks about new identity, he talks about a new sense of purpose, he talks about being adopted into a new family, he talks about being forgiven and reconciled. As Sarah was saying, he talks about being sealed by God's Holy Spirit. And here in Romans 12, Paul takes this wonderful picture of a human body and helps us to understand what true belonging really looks like. What he's saying to us is this, that through faith in Jesus Christ, you and I now belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the body of Christ. We are in Christ. That has to change the way we understand what it means to be church. Friends, we're not consumers. We're not just a bunch of oddbods. We're not just a bunch of individuals. We are the body of Christ. We have been included and we belong because God has done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. There are no outsiders to your love, as the song goes. Once you were a people, and now you are not. Once you were excluded, now you're included. We are the body of Christ. And there's something very significant that follows in this verse, because if you look again at verse 5, Paul says, in Christ, we are who are many form one body. But look what he says next. He says, each member belongs to all the others. What is that how you view church this morning? Each member belongs to all the others. True belonging begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it also begins in a new kind of relationship with those who are in faith in Christ around us. You see how one thing follows the other. Each member belongs to all the others. We have a new family. We have a new sense of belonging. My friends, God is not to subscribe to individualism. He's into community. In fact, God's own being is made up of community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God has designed us to live in community together. Even in the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect, what did God say? It is not good for man to be alone. Right at the very beginning, when everything was perfect. If you've ever experienced true loneliness, then you will understand just how powerful this image of community really is. It's one of the reasons why solitary confinement is such a cruel, cruel punishment. And Paul says here in Romans, if you want to understand where true belonging begins, where it's really rooted, it's rooted firstly in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he says it's rooted in the new kind of relationship that you develop with other Christians who've also come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he begins to unpack how we begin to experience that sense of belonging with each other. This is great stuff to kind of read in Romans chapter 12 and say, yeah, I love this. This is great. Love this sense of belonging. But what do we do? Well, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Come back to page 1153 with me for a minute. Where Paul picks up this wonderful image of the church as the body of Christ. And in verse 27, he kind of sums up everything that he's saying in this passage. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Does that phrase even challenge the way you think about church this morning? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. There's some important things that Paul spells out in this passage. We're not going to look at it verse by verse this morning for the sake of time. But the first thing I want you to recognize is this as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That belonging means that we need to get this understanding in our heads that we are now part of one body. We're part of one body. As you sit and look around people around you this morning, we are part of one body. The point Paul is making here is one of unity. What does he say in verse 12? The body is a unit. The body is one. Five times in these short verses, Paul uses the word one. My friends, this is supernatural stuff. I hope this excites you as much as it excites me this morning. It helps me to see church in a whole new way. We are bound together by God's Holy Spirit, no matter who we are, no matter how different we may be from each other, no matter what your background is, no matter your circumstances, your race, your culture, your nation, we are one in Christ Jesus. We are one body. Wow! A few of you are getting it this morning. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ fundamentally changes our relationship with each other. We are to think of ourselves as one body. It's not just that we share faith in Jesus Christ, wonderful though that is. Through God's Holy Spirit, you and I are bound together with one another, regardless of how well we may know each other, and regardless of how well you may like or not like people in our church family. You are bound together by God's Holy Spirit. We've not joined some kind of voluntary club when we come to faith in Jesus. That's why Paul says, if you look at verse 26, he says, you know, when one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. That has to challenge us to think about church in a different way, doesn't it? So when we weep together. When we celebrate together. When people are carrying heavy concerns and burdens, we come alongside them and we say, can I carry these with you? Can I walk with you? We are connected together by God's Holy Spirit. We are part of one body. That's how we begin to experience that true sense of belonging that we were created for. I'd love to see some of you smiling as we work our way through these verses. Belonging means we are now part of one body. Secondly, Paul says in this passage, belonging means playing our part. Verses 14 to 20, which we haven't got time to unpack altogether this morning, move from the sense of unity in the first few verses here to diversity and creativity. Paul suddenly takes the image of a body again and he says, okay, well, it's one body, but actually this body's got lots and lots and lots of different parts. And in order for this body to work properly, all of those various parts need to be doing what they were designed to do. It's a wonderful illustration of interdependence. So Paul says, doesn't he, in verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And I love what he says in verse 18. He says, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And of course, the implications are clear here, aren't they? God is calling us to play our part if the body is to function as it's designed to function by God. And that means getting involved. Many of you will know this. Getting involved enhances our sense of belonging. Of playing our part in the bigger picture. We need the diversity of gifts and abilities that Paul is speaking about here. Why? Because we are the body. Body's going to work in the way it's designed to be worked. To work, then we need all the various parts of the body. Wonderful picture here of creativity and imagination and all the various bits doing their various things to make things work as they should. We need to play our part. Increases that sense of belonging. Third thing that Paul says in this passage is that belonging means taking responsibility for one another. I really love this bit. If you look a little bit further back in the passage that we didn't read, in verse 4, Paul says there are lots of different kinds of gifts and abilities. He says something very important in verse 7. What does he say? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Love what he says here. For the common good. We have a responsibility for one another. To use the gifts that God has given to us to help others in our church family to grow and develop in their walk with Christ. It's back to the sense of community, of belonging, of being in this together. We have a responsibility to use the gifts God has given to us for the common good of our church family. We have a responsibility for one another. The Bible is packed full, isn't it, of one another illustrations. They run right the way through the New Testament. Encourage one another, build one another up, carry one another's burdens, spur one another on, serve one another. On and on and on the list goes. But that's how God's new community has been designed to work. We are no longer just a bunch of individuals who are following Jesus Christ. We belong together. We've been sealed by God's Holy Spirit. We are to work together for the common good. And the last thing that Paul says in this passage, in terms of belonging, means that we need to be dependent on each other. That sort of goes right against the society in which we live today, which says you need to be an independent human being. Paul says no. He says if you're part of the body of Christ, you need to learn to depend on one another. Look at verse 15. Paul draws out a very simple implication that's not difficult for us to take on board. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In other words, what Paul is saying is this. He says, your church family needs you. You may not have the gifts that you wish you had. You may not have the gifts that seem more important to you. But the implications of what Paul is saying here is clear. He says, every single one of you who are here this morning is important to the health of the church family here at Crofton Baptist Church. There is a contribution that you can make that is unique to you. Once we start to remove parts of the body or start to believe that we do not really belong, then we miss out when you're not here. That's what Paul's saying. He spells it out for us in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. So let me say this morning, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you've been a Christian for 4 weeks or for 40 years, you need everyone else as much as they need you. God has chosen to include you. God has chosen to use you. There are no spare parts in this illustration. Have you noticed a third foot? No. Have you noticed a second nose? No. The body of Christ is there by divine, supernatural design. This is how God has designed his church to be. God has included you, and your church is vital to you, and you are vital to this local church. So where does that take us this morning? So the Bible is very clear. It says, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to belong, not just to believe. We are called to belong, not just to believe. Remember, we started out, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The Bible makes it crystal clear that we have been put together, we've been joined together, we are being built together, we are members together, we are heirs together, we are fitted together, we are held together, we are on a journey home together. You are not on your own anymore. If you're in Christ, you belong to the family of God. You are the body of Christ. We belong to one another. And although your relationship with Christ is personal, God never intended for it to be private. In God's family, you are now connected. Listen to this. You are now connected to every other believer who has ever lived. And every other believer who will ever be born for all eternity. We belong to one another. This passage should radically transform the way we understand church. It is not a meeting that we come to. It is not an activity that we subscribe to. It is a living, breathing body of Christ that breathes the Holy Spirit of God. It is deeply, deeply precious. Following Christ involves belonging, not just believing. We've got a bit of work to do in relationship to membership at Crofton and what it looks like and what it means to be a partner here. Listen to what Rick Warren says about belonging to the family of God. To Paul, talking about this passage, being a member of church means a vital organ of a living body. Being a vital organ of a living body, that you are indispensable, that you're interconnected part of the body of Christ. The church is a body, not a building. It is a living, breathing organism. It is not an organization. Does that not transform the way you think about church this morning? And he gives us some really good reasons why we should belong to a local church. He says, belonging to a church family identifies you as a genuine believer. You can't be the body of Christ on your own. He says, belonging to a church family moves you away from just doing it on your own. Joins you with a larger community of faith. He talks about how it helps you to grow and to mature as a follower of Jesus. He talks about the importance of belonging to the body, because the body needs you. He talks a little bit about belonging in terms of getting involved together, doing things together, doing mission together, doing church together, being part of a wider community of God's people. And he talks about accountability. Belonging to a church family keeps us accountable for our spiritual journey. I'd love to chat to some of you if you want to know more about what it means to be a partner or a member at Crofton. But we need to understand it in light of some of the stuff that we're looking at this morning. You're not on your own anymore. I love that phrase. A few months back, you might remember a Sunday morning where Phil Walter took us to Walt Disney's Toy Story. Going around in my mind all week, actually. A little boy called Andy marks his toys by writing his name on the soles of their feet. And in many ways, that captures very much of what we've been thinking about this morning. I want to show you a really short little video clip before we just wrap up what I sense God's been saying to us this morning. So a little clip from Toy Story. It's amazing, isn't it? The depth of some of the life lessons that come from children's stories.
We wouldn't even be together if it weren't for Andy. Look under your boot, Buzz. You too, Jesse. Whose name is written there?
Maybe Andy doesn't care about us anymore.
Thank you.
Simple clip from a children's story, and yet it just captures, doesn't it, what it means to be in Christ, marked as belonging. It's exactly what we've been talking about this morning. True belonging begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ, where he writes the word "in Christ" over our lives, stamps that over our lives. That's where true belonging begins. And we work out that sense of true belonging in our relationships with each other, because we're now part of the body of Christ. Our relationships with each other have totally changed. We are bound together for all eternity. Does that frighten you? Does that challenge you? But it certainly changes the way we see each other, doesn't it? And what Paul is saying in that wonderful illustration in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to work out what true belonging really looks like, he gives us some really practical advice. He says you need to recognize that you're now part of one body. You're not in this on your own anymore. He means you've got to play your part. That's what enhances our sense of belonging. We start to contribute. We begin to feel more and more like we belong. Paul talks about taking responsibility for each other, in it together, arms around each other. Encouraging, weeping, helping, supporting. That means being dependent on each other, recognizing that I don't have the answers to everything. But together as a church family, we can help each other. There's a wonderful refrain that goes right the way through the Bible, and with this I'm going to close this morning, and here it is. It's a covenant that God makes with Abraham, and it's a covenant that gets worked out all the way through the Old Testament, and here it is, where God says, I am going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And you see that in Abraham, and you see it worked out all the way through the Old Testament, and you hear that refrain again and again and again, I'm going to be your God and you will be my people. And Jesus arrives and he announces the kingdom of God has come. It's broken into the here and now. God's new community has begun. And then right at the very end of the Bible, in that little snapshot of new creation, you read these words, now the dwelling of God is with men and women. And he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I am making everything new. That's where we're heading. But here's the challenge this morning. In the meantime, God has given us his church. We are his church. We are a community of God's people that is designed to give those around us and those in our church family a glimpse of what is to come. A glimpse of new creation. And when we get it right, to provide that kind of community that is safe and secure, where we feel valued and where we feel included. It is supposed to be, church is supposed to be a snapshot, glimpses of what is yet to come. Glimpses of one day when God is going to make everything new. And so our local community around us, when they get a glimpse of what God is up to here, they say, that's where I want to belong. That's the kind of community that I want to be part of. I trust that this passage this morning helps you to see church in a whole new way. Amen.